Jesus, we invite you in this Bible study as we learn your word and how to support and just to be the church that you desire us to be. Lord, I ask that you will use me for your glory. Give me the words to speak. And Lord, just let it all be unto you. We pray all these things in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're on chapter 4. So have y'all read it already? Where we at? Maybe, maybe not. We'll review as we go. So one of the blessings is, I don't know if you guys were in that class, the Christian leadership class with Bishop Collins, but I think he said there are like 7 more spaces. So if anyone's interested, feel free to email us. We can give you the information, but it just was a blessing. And one of the things that just gave me some prep for tonight. So it was like half the homework was already done because I was in class. I was like, all right, Lord, I got you. So that was just awesome. But tonight we are speaking, or I'm speaking, specifically on praying for our leaders. And I'm going to be speaking about praying for pastor and church leaders. But if we look at each one of our lives, we are all a leader in one aspect of our life or not. Amen. And so we all need prayer. And one of the things when we talk about praying for our pastor, sometimes we say, yeah, we got to pray for him, but we don't necessarily know why. And when you think about our pastor, he gives us so much. It's just the hours of preparation. He doesn't come up here and just preach anything. He don't come. I've never been here on a Sunday. He just said, Jesus wept. All right, y'all, go home. I'm tired. You know, but he gives everything when he's preaching that word. And it's a small thing for us to pray for him and just to keep him in our prayers, and not just him, but his family. And so when we think of definition of a leader, and this was already said on Saturday, but it's someone who has influence over a group of people. And when I was thinking of a definition of a great leader, that's just a leader. But when I think of a definition of a good leader, a great leader, it's someone who has the ability to bring out the best in others so that we could work together towards a common goal. Because you have some leaders, you have bad leaders, you have good leaders, but we want great leaders. And that's just to bring out the best in us so that we can be who God has called us to be so that we can work towards the common good, which is this ministry vision. And we'll go over that a little bit later. But in order for him to be a great leader, that takes prayer. Amen. Because that's something that we can't do on our own strength. That's something he can't do on his own strength. He needs the power of the Holy Spirit to be upon him every day to walk that thing out. So one of the things, when we talk about purpose of leaders, what do you guys think some of the purposes is? I'm thinking like organization. What's the purpose of a leader over an organization? You guys can just call out. To lead, amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Be an example, amen. Keep us unified, amen. So it's a lot of things that go in that. And then what are the characteristics of a leader? Patience. Perseverance. Listener. I'm just repeating it since it's being recorded so they can hear what you're saying. Merciful. What was that? Humbleness. Amen. So let's see what the word says. What are the different versions we have? I know we probably have King James. What else do we have? Okay. Amen. All right, so the first scripture we're going to look at is 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 4. And Zakiya, would you read that for us? Chapter 3, 2 through 4. Chapter 3, verse 2 through 4. You got it? Yeah. Oh, you could sit. Or that you like.
Now a bishop must teach above reproach, marry only one, temperate, sensible, respectable, hospitable, and as teacher.
Amen. So I looked up the word above reproach. That means pretty much above disappointment. That means it can't even be gossip going around the street about you. I mean, you know how hard that is, like in this day, like to live above reproach, to be self-controlled. I can't tell you sometimes people say certain things and you just want to go off. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can live in accordance to 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 4. And so Titus chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. Let's see. Sister Tina, what version do you have? Can you read for us that one? Titus, the first chapter, verse 7 through 9. And these are verses that talk about the character of what a leader should have. Amen. So that's a lot. That right there is a lot. Amen. So you see in the trend, like if we don't pray for anything else, it's so that the man of God, and I'm talking about our pastor and even the leaders of this church, that the characters reflect the word of God. I can't tell you so many times I'm hearing gossip and they always, oh, them church folks, they do this and this, this. Oh, them church folks, they think they just this, this. That should not be. Our lives should reflect the word of God so that we are above reproach, so they can't say nothing. Amen? And so these are things that we need to be praying daily for our pastor and for our leaders and for each one of us. Amen. 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 And I got to tell you, so many times when I want to say something so bad, and the only thing that stops me is I don't want to taint my witness. Because if I'm going to witness, they're going to be like, mm-mm. You know, mm-mm, because you done cursed me out 3 times. You might have just go ahead somewhere. But that's the only thing that keeps me. I don't want to taint my witness. Because this is all what it's about, to bring and build up believers in the body of the Christ to be sent into the world. And if they no longer hearing us, they're not going to hear someone that we're calling our brothers or sisters in the church. So that comes before. I know Deacon Reverend Norm last week talked about our preferences, and I was able to listen in since I wasn't able to be here. But our preference. That's that. That means us come last. Our personal preferences of we want to be right, you know, and tell somebody the truth, the so-called truth. Like, no, that come later. We want to be able to bring in and build up believers in the body of Christ to be sent forth into the world. And so when I was reading over the scripture about our character, and it also talks about a good reputation among outsiders, among those that are outside of the church. 1 Timothy 3 and 7 says, moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. And then Titus 3, 1 and 2 says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. And listen to this one, to speak evil of no one. Y'all, that mean Donald Trump. We're going to move on, but okay, that means Donald Trump. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. So that was, like, for me, I was like, all right, well, Lord. So sometimes for us, we talk about our preferences. We want what we want. And so we want to complain. But before we complain, we need to pray. If we pray just as much as we complain, amen? So it's not easy, this living this thing out, this walking this thing out, so that we can live, you know, in a way that we can bring people in. It's not easy. But if we're praying, all things are possible. Amen. So the opening of chapter 4, if you guys have a book, we can open it up. Yeah. Oh, I am a church member, Tom Rainer. Let me know when y'all have it. Does anybody need a book? All right, y'all got it open? Y'all ready? So, chapter 4. The opening of it, it shows Pastor Mike in the middle of a crisis. Like, stuff was coming from him, like, coming at him, like, every side. I mean, and we can all say we've had various seasons, not exactly the same, but it seemed like just stuff, every time you just turn a corner, here comes something else. And so, what do you think his emotional condition was in that story? Mm-hmm. Exhausted. Anxious. Overwhelmed. Worried. Mm-hmm. Ready to give up any minute. Somebody else. So it was like he was almost in like a strong attack. What would you say his spiritual condition is in that story? And what I wrote down was doubtful. It didn't necessarily seem like he was all over the place. It didn't necessarily seem like he had a reserve, a faith reserve, you know, something you could draw down on. Like, it was, everything was just spent. He was strained. So one of the things I noticed when I read it was that it seemed like he had no time to pray. And it just wasn't in that moment. It just seemed like it was some time. And unfortunately, this story is not uncommon when it comes to leaders and pastors of the church. Sometimes you can become busy doing ministry, but with God in the midst. Like, you're just drained. You're just going through the motions. But God is not there because you don't have time to check in, you know, have time to be in the Word, praying. It's like ministry has taken over everything. And so this is something that is extremely common. And it's one of those things in Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. It says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail." And it just sums it up, the spiritual attack. Spiritual warfare 101. But it's possible that you could be in a place of ministry where you're getting all these honors and accolades and yet be far away from God. And it becomes an endless cycle. So you do something good, you receive accolades, your pride, your ego kicks in, and then you want to do the same thing over and over again. And before you know it, it's just the same cycle. cycle. And so this is why our personal relationship with Christ has to be close. John 17, it talks about, I don't pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So what's the point of going through the motions if God isn't in it? But we got to, I mean, our relationship with Christ has to be first. If it's not first, then the ministry becomes an idol, and God isn't pleased in that. And so that's one of the things that we have to protect our own relationship. And sometimes that means saying no to people. And I got to tell you, I've been in a place where I had to say no. And it's not a comfortable place. But if the Lord is leading you to say no, you got to obey God. Because once you get into a place where you try to please men and not God, that becomes an idol. And you know how the Lord feels about idols. Amen. So one of the things that we want to pray for our pastor and our leaders is that they remain in a place before God with humility so that they can hear the Holy Spirit on what to do, teach, or preach to the congregation. That their hearts remain tender to obey God and not be desensitized by all the needs and demands around them. So one of the things, when I wrote that down, I was like, wow. Because sometimes when I pick up my kids, they all talking to me at the same time. And it comes to a place where I just want to tune them all out because I'm not hearing none of them. But that's the same thing in ministry. Like, you have all these people pulling on you, and then all of a sudden you don't hear anything or see anything. And what happens is our hearts get hardened. And so this is why we always have to be prayerful, because if the power of the Holy Spirit, like, we can do anything. But as soon as we stop praying and getting in that relationship with Christ, then our hearts just become numb, we harden, and you might as well just go somewhere and sit down. Amen? That's the truth. But the one thing I realized, that if God tells us to do A, B, and C, that's the only thing we have grace to do, those three things. But sometimes in ministry, when we want to go, you know, we want to be like, all right, Lord, I'm going to obey you. I'm not only going to obey you, but I'm going to do A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, and then the exclamation point, you know, cherry on top. Because we're thinking that all this extra stuff we're doing is pleasing to God. But in reality, we don't have the grace to do it, and we leave ourselves open to demonic attack. Because now we're operating on our own flesh and our own strength. So this is when we pray for our leaders. We got to pray that obedience, simple obedience. It talks about faith, like child faith, childlike faith, simple obedience. He tells us to do A, B, C, A, B, C. That's it. We don't get nothing extra out of doing extra. Only thing we do is wear ourselves out. And then we good for nothing, and you might as well go somewhere and sit down. And then this isn't getting accomplished, which is our ministry vision. So it's a lot that we need to be prayerful for our ministry, our pastors, our leaders, each one of us, in our own personal lives, so that ministry will always be active and going forward. Because at any point where it becomes stagnant, I mean, you know what the Bible tells us about stagnant waters. And in reality, you can look at a lake and see what happens to stagnant waters. You get algae, you get the muck, the dirt, and no one wants to use it. No one wants to go out there and swim because it's dirty water. And the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, he's not pleased with that. He wants it to be rivers like flowing water, clean, pure, pristine water. And the only way that we're going to have clean, pristine water in our life is through prayer and time with him in the word. Amen. And the other thing to point out when we pray for our leaders, sometimes the enemy can trick us into doing something good. And it seems like a good thing, but if it's coming from the enemy, nothing good could come from the enemy. And sometimes this is a good thing, the Lord has ordained it, but it's out of time. So if the timing is wrong, we might as well like wrap it up, because then we're on our own strength, our own flesh, and nothing good could come out of it. But I was thinking of the example of Eve. It was like, is it good? I want to know the difference between good and evil. That didn't seem like a bad thing. I mean, most of us be like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Like, but God didn't ordain that. He gives them specific instructions. Don't eat from that tree. But then in our own thinking, in our own mind, we say, oh, yeah, that seems like a good thing. And then we go ahead and do it, and that's when we get ourselves into trouble. And my heart was broken. It was before Christmas. I'm not sure if you guys saw the news story, but it was a woman in Baltimore where it was a panhandler in the corner, what appeared to be a baby. And she said, she had a sign that says, I have a baby, I need help. Did any one of you guys see that story? No. She stopped and gave them money, but then someone came out of the blue and stabbed her and killed her. Mm-hmm. I was devastated when I read that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The homeless woman, the woman that said she needed help, ended up stabbing a good Samaritan that was given money. And I was devastated when I read that, because for us as Christians, we always want to help. But at the same time, we need discernment. Whenever we have a check in our spirit, you got to keep going, no matter how harsh it seems. This is why we need to have our ears open at all times to the Lord and do what he says. It's like, it's just trust and obey. There is no other way. Trust and obey. That's it. But it's deep. But these are the times we're living in where we have to pray for discernment for our leaders and each one of us. Because it's like the enemy is pulling every trick he has out of the bag. You know, to give us, if he can't get us to give up faith, then he wants to take our life. But as believers, we know, you know, hey, it's all good. If you take my life, I know where I'm going. So, hey. But in times like these, we really need to be praying for our pastor, for our leaders, for each member. I read Christian Post a lot, and it just seems like every week there's a different story about a different pastor or something. And in fact, I have to stop reading it, because it's like it comes to a point where now it's becoming gossip, just saying all the bad news. But the reality of it, there's a pastor giving up every day. You know, it's a pastor committing suicide, pastor committing adultery, whatever it is. But we have to pray. I mean, more than reading a story, more than me reading the news, I need to be praying instead. Like, just pray. You don't even need to know what's going on out there, because, you know, can only imagine. But just pray, and just praying for their lifestyle of holiness, praying for their relationship with Christ, praying for their discernment, that they're focusing on the ministry and not on pleasing men. And the list goes on and on and on. Amen. But one of the things for us as believers, just this power of prayer is just awesome. You know, I've seen the power of prayer just work instantly, you know, to realize how powerful it is. And sometimes when we think about prayer, we think about, you know, the good things, you know, that could come out of it. But sometimes it's keeping us from the bad stuff. I never forget one time I was sitting in a meeting at work, and the woman, we were talking about days off. You know, I had vacation coming up. And so she said, yeah, well, Keisha's taking a couple of days off to spend time with the hoodlums. And all of a sudden, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit just hold me back. And my face, you know, and I just couldn't say nothing. This was all power of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't say nothing, couldn't do nothing. All I could do was just be like, wow, you know. And then I had to address it some weeks later, after I got into a place and the Holy Spirit released me to be able to address it in a kind, compassionate way so I can teach. But I was like, wow, Lord, you know, because I had never really experienced the Holy Spirit like that. to keep me from doing something that my flesh wanted to do. I wanted to reach over the table and, you know, snatch her up. But the Holy Spirit was just like, oh. And I was just like, but that was just like a thank you, Jesus moment, because I would have been in the unemployment line, you know, after I snatched her up. I hope she ain't going to re-listen to this because she was referring to my children as hoodlums. But I was so thankful. I think But like I said, I never experienced the Holy Spirit like that. That was all Him. That's the point. That was all God and not me, because my fleshly response was very different. But we just want to continue to pray that God's grace and favor will rest on His leaders. There's a lot of burden, a lot of weight, a lot of responsibility that falls on pastors that we have no idea. I have no idea, but I only know in preparing for this lesson what the Lord reveals. But that's where our prayers come in, to help them lighten the load, you know. So you carry a lot, but you don't have to fill the whole load. Like, that's where the prayers come in. But we want to continue to pray for our pastors and the leaders, for their relationships with others. It was mentioned a while back in my reading that the sign of the cross, the vertical relationship with Jesus, and then our horizontal relationship with everyone else. Amen. So we want to pray for those relationships, that there be a place of encouragement, that it be a place of rest, that there'll be peace, like in all of our pastors' relationships. And sometimes we know it's like carnal church folks are some of the hardest folks to get along with, as Reverend Norm mentioned last week. But we're just praying for our leaders' patience in dealing with us, in dealing with me. You know, this is something that we need to be praying about. And then also, the one thing that I love about the Word is just the various examples. Our pastor needs a strong inner circle, and then people that he's comfortable with sharing his struggles, and then people that are going to keep him accountable. Because many times when you're a pastor, you can't necessarily go to your church members and the people that are here. You got to have people on the outside that you can kind of confide in that are going to support you. And one of the things about Moses, he had Aaron and Hur in Exodus 17 and then 8 through 14. And so in the battle with the Amalekites, you can turn there, book of Exodus 17. And it's Exodus 17, verse 8 through 14. And I'll start with verse 10. And I have, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So they ended up winning that battle because they kept Moses' hands lifted. which is also symbolic of encouragement. Amen. So as we're praying for our pastor, we want to pray encouragement. Because when his hands are up and he's encouraged, guess what? We're all going to be doing well. But if he gets discouraged, guess what? That's going to start coming down on us too. Because we're all one body. And then also the example of Moses. He also had major accountability figure in his life, Jethro, his father-in-law. And so it was Jethro that told Moses when he was spending all day and night judging all the cases. It was Jethro that told Moses, what you're doing isn't good, but you've got to find some folks to delegate to, so because otherwise they're going to wear you out. And so that was Jethro. And Jethro was teaching Moses how to use wisdom and leave a legacy. So, because one thing that I find sad in the body of Christ is many times ministries die with their leader. There always has to be a legacy. This is the example of God, the example of Christ in the Bible. There's always a legacy. The ministry will always continue as long as until Jesus comes back again. And I found it interesting. It was like Deuteronomy 31:6. You guys can turn it real quick. Deuteronomy 31:6. Say amen when you have it. Amen. So Moses commanded Joshua in Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. So it was Moses that commanded that to Joshua. And a lot of times we know Joshua. We know the verse in Joshua. But a lot of times we don't know that that actually came from Moses in Deuteronomy. So it was after Moses that died that God reminded Joshua as he was, I guess, feeling a little doubtful. And it's Joshua 1, 5, and 6. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So you see the legacy? Amen. So it was Jethro, Moses, Joshua. Amen. So it just always continues. So we're praying for that legacy. We're always praying for the continuation of this ministry, Taylor Tabernacle, that it will always continue for generations unto generations. Because sometimes when we pray, our prayers are too small. We're only praying about the now. But how many times, like, God wants us to be praying for years and years from now as the Holy Spirit leads us. Amen. So we're praying for that legacy. So once our leaders, after we're done praying for our leaders, our pastor, the members, it doesn't stop there. Then we have to keep our leaders' families in prayer. Because one of the things about spiritual warfare, it goes through the least path of resistance. And I know with me, a lot of times this happened a couple of years ago. Whenever JC was about to preach, it would be something that would come up that would set me off. You know, he would forget to tell me something or something would happen. And I didn't know it at the time. Because I would be like, all right, why am I getting mad at him every time he's about to preach? And then I start wising up. I'm like, all right. So now it's like, you know, I got to be prayed up. If he's preaching, I am prayed up. Because I refuse to let the enemy attack me to attack him. Amen? So when we're praying for our pastor, we got to pray for Sister Jermaine, Jordan, Jackson, Jacob. We got to pray for the entire family. Because his home is his place of refuge. That's his place of rest. That's where the mental and physical health come in. If he can't rest at home, exhaustion, you just get worn down. You just get worn out because, amen? So as a summary, I know I gave you a whole lot of stuff that we're praying for, but it's a lot. It is a lot. You know, we probably need to be praying for a whole lot more. But as the Lord just leads us in our prayer, we can't be legalistic about it. But we got to know that our pastor needs a lot of prayer and the leaders need a lot of prayer. Each one of us, we all need a lot of prayer. But in summary, we're praying for the leaders' relationship with Christ, that they would spend quality time in prayer and the word with resulting fruit, which is their character, above reproach. We're praying for their obedience to God's leading and wisdom, praying for their relationships with others, and that includes the family, friends, accountability partners, church members. We're praying for their encouragement, protection. We're praying for provision. Amen? Because our pastor needs to be able to sleep. He can't be worrying about paying for the bills, and he can't sleep at night and get rest. Right? So we're praying that there is always going to be provision in his house. We're praying legacy. And I can't tell you how many times I could say encouragement. Because it's something about encouragement. If you have encouragement, it's like that seems to include like everything else. Because that goes along with his hands being lifted, as we read in Exodus. Amen? Just to encourage. So if you want out things to pray, you don't know what to pray, just pray his encouragement, that he'll stay encouraged in the Lord. So in conclusion, by praying for our pastors and leaders, it ultimately benefits the entire church to bring forth the mission, which is to bring in and build up believers in the body of Christ to be sent into the world. Strong leaders equals strong church equals strong families equals strong members. If we are vigilant in spiritual warfare through prayer, then our pastor and church leaders don't have to fight so hard. Amen. We all don't have to fight so hard if we just pick up. Look, if we pick up the sword and fight this good fight of faith. Amen. And it was on a class on Saturday that I wrote down. Bishop Collins said, an army of sheep with a lion as a leader will become an army of lions with a sheep as the leader. So we want to be lions. We want to be fierce and vigilant in this thing. Like, we're not going to just go out. You know what I mean? We got to pick up this, got to pick up our cross, pick up our sword. This isn't like, being a Christian isn't something that we just walk through life casually. You know, we are in a fight. We are in a fight of our lives for faith, the hope of glory. You know, for the kingdom of God, for souls to be saved, for the generations that come after us. And sometimes we can get so stuck on our preferences that we forget that we're in a fight. Just what it is. Amen. 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 I completely agree. So I'm going to close with Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 13. And I'll give everyone a moment. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. And you know what? Let's just go around the room. Everyone could take a verse. Well, we got, we'll go through 18. Yeah, we'll go Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Everybody have a Bible? Amen. All right, Reverend Scott, you can lead us off. Ephesians 6, 10, and we'll go through 18.
Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord.
Carla. Sister Mary. Ephesians 6:14. Sister Wanda, you ready? Ephesians 6:15.
In addition, to stop the fiery arrows of the devil.
In King James, it says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Amen. Amen. So we have our pledge. Yay. So I'm going to pass them out.